This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and I want to wish you the very happiest of New Year's. Well, praise God. We've been on the air now 3 months. We're going to start some teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I've been asking your prayers for this, and I want to reiterate that request. Teaching on the Holy Spirit is a dangerous thing these days, and yet it's a critically important thing. There's no subject more controversial in this latter part of the 20th century. There's no subject that has divided Christian brothers and sisters against each other more than this one. And yet I want to suggest to you that there's no subject more vital to our really entering into all that God has for us. As is always the case, we would welcome, and I would really ask for your suggestions, your criticisms, any kind of questions that you might have. We're going to be giving both the address and the number at the end of this program, and especially as we move into this most vital subject, we would ask you to communicate with us. I want to know if this program is of any help to anybody out there. If it's meeting your need, or if there are some questions that it's not answering, we would love to hear from you. So please let that communication be two ways. The other thing I'd like to ask at the very outset of this new year together is that you would be in prayer with us and for us as we consider the expansion of this radio ministry. God has encouraged us so much over the last 3 months, and so many folks have been of encouragement to us that we're beginning to wonder whether we ought to be looking beyond the metropolitan Washington area. We've had some requests from various places around the country to bring the Inside Story to other stations and other areas, and we really need the guidance of this same Holy Spirit as we think about all that. So we consider you our partners in ministry, and I'd like to ask that as God brings that to mind, you might just hold that up before Him, that I and all those connected with this ministry, the Vestry of Truro Church, would really know the will of God, and that we wouldn't make any mistakes in moving ahead within it. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The question is, who is the Holy Spirit? We want to know who He is and what He's doing. We want to know how to get in on the good things that He's bringing to us. We want to miss none of the blessing. And I'd like to begin back in the Old Testament with a promise. I could turn to any number of passages, but two passages in particular. And the first one gives us a promise from God through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. God is speaking. He says, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant." A new covenant. Now, God's people, the people of Israel, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, were a covenant people. They were a people who entered into a covenant relationship with God. And that marked the whole of their history, was the sense that they were called into a relationship with Almighty God. He was faithful in His part, and they had a fairly checkered history about theirs. But now, He says, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant. A new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Verse 32, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. Now I'm going to make a new covenant. I have already made a covenant. I'm going to make a new covenant. The days are coming. This is future tense. I will make a new covenant, but it won't be like the old one. How is it going to be different? Verse 33, "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, some of that language sounds awfully familiar. God called the people of Israel to be His people, and He said, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." So the question is, what's different? I will make a new covenant, and it won't be like the old one. What's different? It's this inward dimension. I will put my law within them. I will write it upon their hearts. The prophets continually make this promise that the days are coming when the law of God, the statutes of God, the covenant of God is not going to be something written on tablets of stone that Moses or someone like him brings down from the top of a mountain, but rather it's going to be written on the inside. He's going to write it on our heart, not literally on this organ that pumps our blood, but on our inner self, on our inner being. He says, I'm going to put my law within them, and I'll write it upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And listen to the next comment. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. If you have a Bible in front of you, you might just circle that word all, or underscore it. Let it stand out. They shall all know me. This is the mark of the new covenant. They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, in any discussion of the Holy Spirit, we've got to be very clear about the fact that the Holy Spirit doesn't arrive on the day of Pentecost. He doesn't begin his work among humankind on the day of Pentecost. He doesn't even begin it at the baptism of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been around from the very beginning, from before the beginning. The Holy Spirit is there in the first few verses of the book of Genesis. In fact, in the first three verses of the book of Genesis, we see God, the Spirit of God, brooding upon the face of the deep, and the Word of God. There's a Trinitarian hint in the very opening comment of the whole Bible. The Spirit of God was active there in creation, and he has been active down through successive ages of human history. Especially, he's been active throughout the whole covenant of God with his ancient people Israel. But note this. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God moved primarily to bring an anointing upon leadership. He anoints prophets. He anoints priests. He anoints kings. He anoints singers and musicians. He occasionally anoints builders. You may remember Bezalel building the tabernacle back in the wilderness. He comes with the Spirit's anointing in addition to his own natural talents and skills. It's the anointing of God's Spirit upon the builders, upon the craftsmen, upon the woodworkers and metal workers and leather workers and tanners and so on in the building first of the tabernacle and then the temple. The Spirit of God moves upon people to anoint them for ministry and for leadership. But mind you, for the great majority of people under the old covenant, they had no personal relationship with this God. Have you ever meditated upon that? They knew about God. Some of them were deeply conscious. They had a tremendous religious awe, a sense of God. They knew they were a chosen people. They knew they were a covenant people. They knew they were men and women under authority. And some of them bore witness to mighty acts of God, depending upon what particular time in history they lived. Some of them saw miracles that would astonish us today. But the vast majority of people under the old covenant had no personal acquaintance with God. They had to go to the priests. They had to go to the prophets. They had to ask of the oracles. They had to inquire of their neighbor, tell me about God. Teach me about God. Teach me his statutes. In the days of Moses, the people had to come to Moses with their inquiries. Tell us about God. And here Jeremiah says, the days are coming when I'm going to make a new covenant. Now, it's going to be in some respects like the old covenant. Some of the very language is repeated. They shall be my people and I shall be their God. But what's new about the new covenant is that they shall all know me. The birthright of every Christian is a personal relationship with the living God. And an inwardness in which the law of God is written not just on tablets of stone, it's not just external to us, it's not just an objective thing out there that we can look at, but it's an inner reality where the Spirit of God is speaking to us about the will of God. That's the birthright. Now, this very clearly pertains to all Christians. Because Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, at what we call the Last Supper, took the cup of wine in the midst of the celebration of the Passover, and you remember the words, we repeat them every time we have a communion service, whether it's Episcopal or Roman Catholic or Baptist or whatever it might be, we either repeat the words or we paraphrase them. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the cup and said, "This cup is my blood of the," what? The new covenant. The new covenant. Jesus instituted the new covenant in his own blood. That was his gift to the church. A new covenantal relationship with God himself. Turn over to Joel chapter 2. And this passage will be enormously familiar to most of us. Toward the end of a lengthy prophecy, chapter 2, verse 28, the very same thought is picked up. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I," who is speaking, God Almighty, "that I will pour out my Spirit on," what? "All flesh." There it is again. Circle that word, all. "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now, could I put it to you this way? That what's new about the new covenant is not that God is pouring out his Spirit, but it's the all flesh. You see, God has poured out his Spirit repeatedly, consistently, but it's been on the leadership. He poured out his Spirit on Moses. He poured out his Spirit on David. He poured out his Spirit on Solomon. He poured out his Spirit on Isaiah. He poured out his Spirit on Jeremiah. He poured out his Spirit on most of the judges of ancient Israel, on the singers, on the leaders. But now he says, "The days are coming when I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And here are some of the marks of that outpouring of the Spirit. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and even upon the men servants and the maid servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit." That's what we want to be looking at this week and perhaps on into the next several weeks as we consider who is the Holy Spirit. The birthright of all Christians is to enter into the outpouring of God's Spirit. And that's the inside story.